Hello. I've talked to some of you. And so my name is Alonso Martinez. I'm in what they call the character department at Pixar. And so what that means is that we are in charge of helping create these characters that you see in the movies that are so fun to look at, and for me, so fun to make. There's a tremendous amount of love that goes into making these characters, and it really is love. I mean, I see these characters, I feel like they're family, you know? I see them every day, and we make them better every day, and and just so you have a broad understanding of what exactly that means is they have a saying at Pixar: story is king, and everything is about story, and nothing else really matters. And so every single person at Pixar is a storyteller, and so so that means that you need to find a way to help the director tell his story through your job, whatever that job is. And in some, you know, the writers, they tell a story through text. The storyboard artist tell a story through loose drawings. The art department tells stories through shapes. And just to kind of give you an idea of what that means is you have as humans, we've kind of, it's funny because we don't logically know these rules, but we intuitively know these rules. Like, for example, if there was a character that looked like, like that, and there was like another character that looked like that, and then another character that looked like that. All right. Which one's the dangerous one?
I would say the one
triangle.
Yeah, triangle, right? Which one's the friendly one?
The round one,
right? Which one's the strong one? Last one, right? So it's interesting, right? We develop this intuition for what this language is, and so what's really beautiful about animation is that you can take the real world, and you can be like, you know what? I'm trying to think of, like, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, he plays a lot of bad characters, you know, and he's he looks like a pretty bad guy, but, like, what if you could exaggerate that? What if you could take what Daniel Day-Lewis looks like and make him look even meaner through using exaggerations like this shape language? And that's exactly what we try to do with Butch. So we take characters and we know what they're supposed to feel like, and we exaggerate it, and we push it, and it's a lot of fun, because in that process, we get to take all that data, and we simplify some stuff, so we're like, we don't care about that kind of detail, we don't care about it, and there's other kinds of detail that we're like, we love it, let's find a way to highlight it, show it, exaggerate it, and so the first part of my job is making these sculptures inside of the computer. I get the drawings, like the one I'm gonna make for you guys, and I make a digital sculpture inside the computer. And then and here's the theme song is kicking in, right? And then I start. So it's a motionless sculpture that is just kind of like in what we call like a T pose. It's like this very default pose, and we build all of the controls to be able to like move them around. And I think I have a video later of me playing around with the puppet. It really is like a puppet. You can grab it from the arm, and you can like move it around, and you can like change this finger, and you can change all. You can change every single part of the character slowly, and. One really cool thing about when I first started at Pixar is I remember going through the training program, which is about 2 weeks. I trained probably, but for another 4 years in reality. But the formal training is 2 weeks, and I remember being new, And it's so much fun to play with these puppets, and they were showing us how to use the software. And I remember I was like kind of like snooping around, and I was like, oh, now that I know how to use this power, you know, I want to see what else I can do with it. And I opened up the model for Woody, and all of a sudden just I think I saw Woody somewhere else, like turn on, and all of a sudden Woody appeared, and I was like, whoa. And I remember like spinning around, and I grabbed his arm, and I was like, it's nice to meet you. Because I felt like, I mean, it's just real, it's the real Woody. It's the Pixar Woody. It's those bits, those bits of information that live inside of Pixar computers that made that movie. You're meeting the famous person, you know? And so I felt like I was meeting a famous person once. And it's funny because that level of believing in these characters are exactly what make the audience care about them. And so you find slightly weird people like myself that, like, you know, believe these things are real in a hope that, you know, all of the rest of the weird, you know, all the rest of the people will believe it in the same way that I do. And so we get to work with animation department and the art department, and it's really fun. The thing that I love the most about Pixar is that it's this nice blend in between technology and art, and it's fun to talk to artists and to talk to engineers, and to both of them, I'm just like, how can we make this work, you know? Because I feel like lucky enough to have both of their vocabulary. So I think art department is a bridge in between like engineering and art, and it's an awesome, fantastic place to be. Yeah. You guys have any questions? I can keep.
Well, when you're building a rig, don't you have to have some sense of what the story arc is, as in what the character is going to be called upon to do in a movie? I mean, there's big emotional scenes, there's big action scenes, that sort of thing.
Yes, definitely, and we're. We're constantly looking at story reels and kind of like analyzing. I always look at the story reels. If I'm making a character, every single new character that I get, I'm like, nope. I know that I saw the story before, but now I need to see the story with the focus of what is this character gonna do, you know, and make sure that the range of acting that are really loosely indicated in the storyboards, that my digital puppet is going to be able to do all those things. And there's a lot of planning involved. Like every single character has different problems, and in solving them requires there's just different challenges. Yeah, you guys can keep asking me questions if you'd like.
20 years ago, Pixar made a specific type of movie.
Yeah.
Disney Animation made a different specific type of movie.
Yes.
Nowadays, yes. The lines are very blurred.
They are, yeah.
This seems like what would be considered a classic Disney movie 20 years ago. Brave also. But then, like, Wreck-It Ralph, which is Disney,
yeah.
Seems more like a Pixar film.
Interesting.
Is that the Lasseter effect? That's what I like to call it. The fact that he's
the Lasseter
running
effect.
Both companies now. Is that sort of... Yeah. Where the lines are blurred. And as an artist, have you felt the lines blur over the last few years?
Yeah. It's funny. The Lasseter effect sounds like a... Like,
I'm trying
like,
to coin that.
Like a scientific term or something like that. It's like, you know, the Gestalt effect. No, I think it's very much the case. I think that... but I think that... To me... I am just being... just honest... I feel like, you know, Disney has been rocking it for such a long time, and they're masters at their craft, but the 3D thing never really worked for them, and they were not as good at it as they were with the 2D stuff, and their storytelling started to change and stuff like that, and when Pixar and Disney merged, as part of the agreement, was that they would go down there and try to improve what was going on. And that is the reality. And what happened was wonderful. I think now I feel like they're our true competitor and friend. Mm-hmm. I think that we share technology, we talk about how we made things better, and there's this really beautiful kind of yin-yang to the two entities, that we're not against each other, we're using each other's technology when we can, and it's this really beautiful, healthy competition, you know, where, like, I'm honestly, all the time, I'm like, we have to make it better than they do. You know?
So there is that competition between the two companies.
But in the best kind of way, right. Like, I know a lot of people that work there. And, you know, and it's the same way that you're playing basketball with your best friends and you're, you know, you just want to score that three-pointer. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a sibling rivalry?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Both companies are known for doing a tremendous amount of research before they even start drawing or anything like that or start designing. How much prep did you put into this before you got to actually start really digging into it?
Yeah. For this movie, I was lucky enough to be on it really early, and we went to zoos and we looked at elephants and we looked at giraffes and all sorts of things to be inspired by the way they walk, by the way they run, by the way their muscles jiggle, and to be able to be next to an animal that when you stood next to it, you understood how big it was, you know? We needed to create that same sense of scale, but in the computer. And that was, like, really fun and tricky.
How did you get here? I mean, something about your background. How are you being in, your journey?
How did I get to do what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I went to school for animation, so I went to an art school. I went to an art school, and I made a short film that when I graduated, I showed to Pixar, and it was about a 2.5-minute film. It was about a lighthouse keeper, and a lot more of my schoolwork, and I mean I was insanely lucky that out of school I got hired. It was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Piggybacking on a question that was asked before about research.
Yeah.
You know, when they were making Frozen, they could travel to see icebergs and kind of study what snow and ice looks like.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs, you have a bit of more of a challenge. How did that work out to sort of study what they, and in a sense, since no one really knows what they look like, be able to, it did give you a more freedom in creation?
Yeah, it's certainly challenging. I mean, like you said, we don't have the same things that, like, we don't have anything that's very realistic to be able to, like, look at. And so, yeah, all we can do is look at elephants and giraffes and imagine the rest. I mean, it seems like a gift, but it's almost a curse. Because you know, like I was saying, we are so used to taking information and simplifying it and finding something beautiful inside of it. And exaggerating it, and when there is nothing that exists, you do what the only thing that you can do. Like I don't know if you guys know this, but like for example, for Jurassic Park, the scream of the T-Rex is a mixture of like some sort of like turkey and like a bunch of different animals like screaming together, and that's what made the T-Rex sound. And so. With these characters is you take the nearest cousins and you take what it feels like to you and you try to imagine what that would be. Yeah.
Speaking of T-Rexes, though, when you mentioned Jurassic Park, I mean, face it, that's a villain, that's a monster.
Yeah.
You know, this film, you had to create a T-Rex that was intimidating but had to be likable, had to be viable as a rancher.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that must have been tough to work that Venn diagram, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Friendly T-Rex rancher.
It's funny because I think for the most part, you just make them really mean looking, and then through the acting, you make them nice. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because he does strike that, he does strike that balance in between, like, no, I mean, he seems pretty nice, but I'm pretty sure that he might eat you. You know? and so it's, I think he has.
So does that go to the highest bidder, and how much can I bid?
I can make other ones really quickly.
Well, it was interesting that you said that goes to the actor brings it alive, and it does dawn on me that there is a relationship between the artist in a film like this and the actor. You can only create it, but then they're really going to bring it to life. Do the actors come and talk to you guys a little bit to get a feel? Do you talk to them once they're cast? Or what's that relationship like?
Right. So the actors in this situation are the animators, right? And we work with them.
Oh, you didn't mean the voice actors creating the performance.
No.
I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean, there's both, right? So, for example, for this character, for Butch, probably halfway through making him, we found out that Sam Elliott was going to be doing the voice. And as soon as that happened, all of the animators in the show were like, oh my god, can I get to work on it? Oh, it's going to be the best character ever. So we were all super stoked. Yeah.
And how much of Sam Elliott's mannerisms and facial expressions went into Butch?
I think quite a bit, yeah. Quite a bit. Yeah.
So do you have any favorite characters in this film?
I would say this one's my favorite. It's a very complex character. And it's like very graphic. There's like all these fun angles everywhere, and I describe it like, if you take a bunch of primitives like this, there's like a bunch of interlocking primitives. So, and you can say that he's very simple, but he's actually like made up of a bunch of very simple shapes. And so it's interesting because with the strong thing, if this is a square and then you were to zoom in what this corner looks like, it looks like that, right? And actually, if this was made out of metal, this is actually kind of a weak point, this like little point. If you were to like smash it against a bunch of things, this would eventually get rounded off. So a stronger shape in visually is actually things that have 45 degree angles to them, kind of that feels very strong. And so Butch has all of these 45 degree angles kind of everywhere that make him feel like a rock. Yeah.
Did you know that prior to working at Pixar? Is there like, you know, in the 2-week training, do they kind of give you a crash course of like, this is how the shapes work at Pixar, this is what we're looking for?
No, this is like all from school and a lot of it kind of intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering what would Butch say if he met Sam Elliott from Roadhouse.
And was the mustache an option for the film?
I have no clue.
What was the most complicated creature to work on?
Butch might be one of the more complicated characters in the movie. He's got that crazy scar on him. He's got a lot of wrinkles all over him. And he's just a kind of a complicated character design. Yeah.
I was going to say that the pterodactyls.
Situation. Yeah, my friend Lou worked on the pterodactyls. Those are super fun. Really complicated. Wings are always like, every single time you get a character with wings, we're like, oh, okay. All right, here we go.
Now, how do you pass on like your work to somebody else? Like, you know, you do one character. You said your friend Lou.
Yeah.
Did the pterodactyls, like, how does it work in a tag team situation like that? Like, I've animated this portion or I've designed this portion. You've done that, and you make it blend together so seamlessly.
I think it's through the kind of leadership at Pixar. Like, we have like. You know, the animating supervisor is kind of like the one that is the kind of unifying thing of the personalities. Like, you know, that's not really his personality. He, you know, Spot isn't really a squirrel. He's more like a dog. And so you're channeling in some squirrel here that maybe doesn't belong here. And so it's just like that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm
many Pixar projects that have you worked on?
Four, I think. So, no, probably more of the little ones. So it was Up, Cars 2. Sorry, no, Up, a bunch of toys. A bunch of Cars tunes. Like there was like a UFO one. There was like
Tall Tales?
So I made the UFO. I worked on the Tormentor, the one that looks like Frankenstein that has like a bunch of chains, and that was probably one of my first big characters. And then I worked on Cars 2, and then I worked on Inside Out, and now The Godiva.
So how excited does it make you and your colleagues when a film like this, a film like Inside Out, gets the Annie accolades and Oscar accolades?
It's so fun, man. It's so fun because when I'm, you know, I will be like, I'll see photos of all my like best friends just like up on stage, like looking really snazzy. It's so cool. It's the coolest. It's the coolest thing ever.
Maybe you'll get to be up there soon.
I know. I will.
Now, since it's been announced Denise is going to be producing Cars 3, will you be moving in into Cars 3?
Maybe. I don't actually know. I never know these things until they happen.
how do assignments work at Pixar?
Through a mysterious system. I don't know.
For real, you don't know how it works.
Paper, scissors?
No, I mean...
I mean, if there is a project coming that you wanted to work on, could you go to someone and say, hey, I'd really like to be involved in Cars 3 or whatever?
Yes. That's definitely the case.
Or they would, you know, say, we need someone, this person fits for that, let's pick them.
Both of those things are true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes some people have, like, a particular skill set that is really useful. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they're really good at making birds or something like that. But other times, the guy that's really good at making birds, you know, wants to, like, work on cars, even though he's really good at making birds.
Right.
So you have that, like, everyone is learning type of thing. Yeah. And some people, you have some people that are like, I'm an artist that wants to be technical. I said that, right? I was like, I want to learn how to program because I came from an art school. And my boss was like, okay, we're going to make you write a simulation that, like, when one car is being towed by... Oh, sorry. when one car is being towed by another one, it does, like, the auto-steering, right?
Okay.
And I was like, no. I just told you, I don't know how to program, let alone write a simulation about something, you know? And the really cool thing is that they pair you up with a really experienced person, and they, like... They have really good kind of, like, mentorship programs. And the same thing goes for art. I mean, like, there's... so many, like, awesome, like, art classes at Pixar, lots of painting classes, lots of sculpture classes and stuff like that. It's really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So you went to school at Greenwood.
Just one more question, guys.
In Sarasota, what was it like to make the culture change to Emeryville?
Oh, it's perfectly fine. Yeah. I feel like I've lived everywhere. Yeah.
In your painting class, did they teach you like the masters or the 20th century contemporary?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. We looked at a lot of like we tried to do what is like master copies, right, of paintings and try to see the world through the way that like they did, and yeah.
Who's your biggest artistic influence?
Ooh, that's a really good question. In my character design, I think I might say Rockwell. Wow. Yeah, he's like the way that he's so graphic about his character designs, kind of like the same way that Mooka did, like very graphic kind of shapes. Yeah. Yeah.